a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Psalms, and we're in Psalm 2. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. I'm going to ask you if you would please to take your Bibles and go with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 2. Somebody has called it the hymn book of the Old Testament because it is a book of songs. And I tell you something here as a little hint. If you're having a bad day, okay, which we all have those, don't we? Well, if you're having a bad day, you might want to just pick up the Psalms and begin to read. It will get you out of the clouds and make you to realize it's not something unique to you alone, because everybody goes through hard times. And as the years pile on, we also find that there are more things to feel vexed about, and sad about, and beaten up about. And so many times you can identify with the psalmist, for many times they're writing to get themselves focused in the right direction. And that would be upon the Lord. So this is the hymn book of the Old Testament, and I want to encourage you to look at it because we've been going into a very interesting season in our country as well as in our world. You may be asking the question with many across the nations, what's going on? Okay, because this is just amazing stuff. I mean, between the election back in November and all of the drama leading up to the inauguration, the day after the inauguration with the women's march and the nastiness that was there and spewing that was going on, I heard there was like 500,000 people. And they had kids in the midst of the crowd. And they were saying things that were as foul as anything you could see on cable TV, would have been censored on regular TV, typically. Stuff that was just out of the realm of propriety and against, really, listen, against the nature of women. Okay, these women were out there acting against nature, not only personally, but in front of their children. It was a bad, ugly day. And what we see is we see our countries coming apart. Yesterday, you may have watched the news and maybe saw the fallout of the moratorium of letting folks in from these faraway lands that have proven themselves to be hostile to the way of life that you and I have come to enjoy. And it's a way of life based upon a principle and a pattern and a biblical imperative. And what we've seen is we've seen in recent days that this world is coming unglued. There were people in parking garages screaming, let them go, because they wanted to let the Muslims that were being detained for whatever reason go. And people were showing up. If you saw over the course of the weekend past, week ago Saturday with that women's march, women all across the world, it wasn't just in Washington, D.C., they were all across the world. It was weird to see my television set at one point. And I don't watch the news that much. I read it more than watch it. But I watched a little, and I saw this quartering of my television screen. Four different screens, women all across the world screaming about Donald Trump being elected and some of his policies. So we have to ask ourselves, what is going on? The neat thing is that we have an answer as to what's going on, because God said some things were going to happen. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says that this know also that in the last days perilous times would come. Men would be proud, boasters, blasphemers, discontent, and they were going to be people who were lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, haters of those that are good. You see, you and I are living in perilous times, and the fact of the matter is we can't ignore it anymore. I'm very interested to see how the Lord is going to have this whole thing play out or unfold. Because what we're seeing right now is a whiplash effect. When the wicked were this close to getting everything on their party list, it was snatched away from them. And now they've come out of the shadows, and their vitriol has begun to be spewed. And they're not yelling at Donald Trump. They're not yelling at anything other than God Himself. Because the principles and proprieties that we are trying to champion in this country, what we voted for in trying to bring things back to a degree of sanity, is being reacted to in almost a militant fashion. We're waiting for the first shot to be fired, aren't we? Do you know Jesus is coming? I want you to know He's coming again. And we need to remember that, because though everything looks like the Titanic is being turned around, The rest of the world's not on board with that. The rich and elitist of the world are not on board with that. There is a movement and a desire and a ramping up for a one world government. And we are living in a time where we're seeing some things of biblical proportion come into their own. So I take you to Psalm 2 because this is not something God is surprised at. Look what it says. It says, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointing, saying, 'Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us.'" That is the first stanza in the psalm. I love the fact that the psalmist is singing about this. Because when I think of singing, I think of a little buoyancy, you know? This is not a funeral dirge because it ends good, okay? What's really neat is to see the fact that God had called this from the beginning. The heathen are raging. If you were to drill down into that word in verse 1, it says, "Why do the heathen rage?" Now, the word heathen is an interesting word. It comes from a root word that means back, the back. You see, heathen are people who've turned their back on God. Think about that. They've just turned their back on God. The Bible refers to those who have taken the image of the incorruptible God in Romans chapter 1 and changed it into the likeness of man and of beasts and of fish. It's just amazing to note that every people group that has ever been discovered has some sort of a God. It is an indisputable fact that there must be a creator. We're floating around on a ball of dirt in the sky. I mean, He hung the earth on nothing, the stars, the moon, everything in its course. There's a creator. And what we see is that they hate the fact that there's a creator like the one who is apparently being revealed through conscience as well as creation. We hate the conscience when we're growing up. Man, it makes us feel bad. It makes us feel embarrassed, you know. But a little bit of humility is good. It humbles us. It brings us back. It sets us back in our seat. Makes us to realize that with 7 billion plus people on the earth, we ain't all that big a deal. Okay? Because we really aren't. Not in the grand scheme of things. But to God, you're a big deal. To God, everybody's a big deal. The Bible says God so loved the world. And you know, that's all they got going for. You talk about people talking about, you know, cutting off your nose to spite your face. People sawing off the limb that they're hanging upon. I mean, this is the world we're living in. The Bible says, why do the heathen rage? Why are they so ramped up? It is an amazing thing to consider what is going on when the mothers take the children to a particular march and begin to speak in such vile terms as if to say, this is the right thing? To dismember babies and take their body parts and sell them? I'm telling you guys, this is on its ear. That's the world we're living in. We are living in a world that is out of control, and the Bible says that the heathen rage and the people, now you've gone from the grand cross-section to beginning to break them down into segments. This is the people. The kings are going to come into play. But right now we're looking at the people. The people imagine a vain thing. The word vain has the idea of an empty thing. There is no true end game for them. The moment that they accomplish their goal as the populace, I'm talking about the people who are coming out of their homes and standing in the streets and spewing foul things in front of their kids and in front of their neighbors and at anybody who is standing for the right and the good, what you end up having is you have something that the end game really will not add up for them. Let me illustrate. When the Women's March happened, they had one of their spokespersons plastered on a few of the signs. It was a woman who actually has on a United States flag burqa. She's one of their big emblems. Women's rights, and yet no one subjugates the women more than the Muslim community. They will stone them. They can't drive on their own. They can't go out of the house without permission. Their own family members can turn on them. If they become rape victims, what ends up happening is they can be killed by their own family members as being such a disgrace. You see, we see it with eyes in our heads, what's going on? They're ramped up for a vain thing. All of the elitists in America who think we can let those who would be hostile to our way of life and to our person as individuals through machete attacks and through bombings and through the pooling of resources in various parts of the society, all of those people think they're going to be on the good side of these people? No. If you don't bow the knee, you will lose your head. Now, that's the two things. I got women who say, you know, we are all for women's rights. Let's celebrate this certain person who's one of our leaders, who's part of the whole Muslim movement at its core. We have Hillary Clinton with Uma Abedin, who was one of the Muslim sisterhood. What we're talking about is a vain thing. It just doesn't even make sense. It doesn't even make... What are they doing? What are they doing? It says they're raging. That's what they're doing. And it's a rage, not of a few people. It says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? We've seen so many amazing things happen in the past several years. But again, what we're seeing right now is something that's coming into its own. When it says they're imagining a vain thing, the word imagine is an active thing. It's not something they just thought of a moment ago. Okay, it's an imagination that they have that is ongoing and perpetual. Do you know what I like to imagine? I like to imagine being home. I want to be home. There's going to be no sorrow, no pain, no parting. You know, there's going to be no more sin nature to contend with within me. That's what I imagine. I don't imagine it without good cause because it's not a vain thing. I have the assurance of a risen Savior who says, I go to prepare a place for you. He says, I'm going to die first. I'm going to show you it's okay. Water's fine. Just trust me. He says, and I'm going to go prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and I'm going to receive you to myself. Why? So that where I am, you can be also. Why? Because I love you. Because you're mine. And he's got this great plan, and it makes sense. It's not empty. It's not vain. It is absolutely vouchsafed to you and me. It has been sealed with his blood. He's the one who gave us a new testament. Yeah, our last will and testament. It's a new testament that he's given to us. And it's the will of God. And he's letting us know out of the gate, this is what it's going to come to. Not just one nation, but the nations. The Bible says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? This whole imagining is about a tumultuous time. When it says the heathen rage, the word has the idea of tumult, the idea of tumultuous. There's a tumult. I was watching at JFK airport where they had all these people just screaming, let them go. Let them go. And they were talking about, let those Muslims go. You know, we need to get behind the right and the good. There was 11 people had a bad day. 11. Nobody ever really got mad about the fact that we began to have to get to the flight 2 hours ahead of time because we had to go through metal detectors and you might be detained as an American citizen because of something they foisted upon us. They weren't there shouting, let them go, let them go. When they had little girls and little boys being patted down by strangers as if they might be the threat. I'm telling you, we are in a weird, weird time. And when the Bible says, why do the heathen rage? Why is there a tumult among the nations? He's telling us that this is what's going to come because it's a prophetic preview of what must come. You see, there's never been a time when the nations have been so in sync. You see what I'm saying? It's the nations. Because this whole idea of media and internet and the connectivity, everybody's on the same page now. And they're ruining their countries, and they are so angry that we voted this last election not to ruin ours. And we become the lightning rod. And you got to thank God for the right kind of person at the right kind of time. Not too many people would go in there and take on both parties at the same time as well as the world and be able to get up in the morning without a headache. You ever feel like you just don't want to face the day? Stand a couple days in Donald Trump's shoes over the past week. I don't know how he's doing it, but I'm thanking God he's doing it.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.